The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It all started when I was a kid. I was deathly afraid of spiders. Sure, laugh, tell me, join the club. But I kid you not. Whenever I so much as laid eyes upon an arachnid, I lost it, spiraling into something far too close to a panic attack for a little one to have to deal with. It was like those little, innocent things had somehow dragged me into their web, holding me in place to writhe fecklessly, every struggle ensnaring me more, my breath growing short. My parents saw it too. Some of the Karens and nature nuts around really fought them, sending someone so young and innocent to therapy, but they just couldn't help me on their own. They weren't equipped. Who would be? Well, my therapist sure felt confident. Dr. Breyer, she assured us, had seen much worse. Her speciality, you see, was phobias. Phobia therapy, if you will. Getting me to deal with it. Not like the shrinks we always picture would say it like that. Too direct, too confrontational. You don't get like that with trauma. She started, of course, with talking to me. Trying to have a mature conversation with a 6-year-old, it's laughable. But, hey, what kid doesn't love to hear someone in their 30s talking to them like a peer instead of some little fluffy doll they found lost on the street? She never put her hands on her knees or called me honey. No, I was Phoebe, and Phoebe only. No BS. But she was warm, too. If I said I couldn't explain something, she didn't feed me answers or rush me. She said, no problem, just leaning a hand on her pointed chin. Some sessions were largely just me idly twiddling the arms of the stuffed tiger she had in her office and always gave me. Man, I love that thing. I'd have stolen it if I was a worse kid. Or, I guess, worse in a different way. Other times I tried to explain what I felt when I saw a spider, and boy, that was not a pleasant conversation at the time. Admitting I could almost feel dozens of legs skittering over my exposed skin, just gentle enough not to scratch me, but so unbearably pointed I almost just wished they would and get it over with. Sometimes I felt the crawling in my mouth, the spindly, wildly running limbs performing their darting, jerky dance upon my tongue. All right, that's still not fun. Dr. Breyer had some answers, though. And not everything was rooted in some Freudian trauma, after all. And many people just developed severe phobias or were born with them. They were just as much a part of our brains as, say, my father's extroversion or my mother's disdain for olives. Heck, even my uncle's depression. It was just something we could work on. Like the way they say you can eat a food every day for 30 days and stop hating it. My mom never wanted to try it with olives, though. I'd seen something like that on TV, exposure therapy, but not as extreme. Dr. Breyer wasn't going to throw a bucket of spiders on me and shout, "You're cured," after all. Malpractice suits, am I right? Or is it a different term for psych? I don't remember. I really don't. She started by bringing her tiger's best friend, a plush, black, furried, doe-eyed tarantula named Timmy. Despite him looking like a character straight out of one of my favorite books, I recoiled. Dr. Bryo reasoned with me, though. I knew Timmy wasn't a real spider. He just kind of looked like one. He was friendly and wouldn't move if I touched him, so I did. I lay my little hand on him, and sure enough, inanimate. Soon, I could hold Timmy okay. I even came to like his smile and held him alongside my tiger. Next came the words. Skittering webs, spinning legs, arachnid eyes, you get the gist. All the things we hate about spiders, right? They were plastered on my walls. It gave me a jolt waking up, thinking about the webs that could ensnare me, the phantom legs that tormented my skin. But soon, nothing. They were just words. The same went for the spider pictures I hung. Heavy breathing, exclamations, brushing my arms frantically the moment my covers came off, squeezing my eyes shut when I returned home from school, my safe haven, a breeding ground for my nightmares. All that went down to simple room decor. About 2 years later, I held a fat, hairy tarantula in my bare hands at an insect and arachnid fair for kids our local mall held, beaming with pride in the photo. Man, was I still glad to hand that thing back. Maybe it was just the thing's owner telling me one wrong move and it would splatter on the ground like a water balloon. At any rate, Dr. Bryer was my savior. No, is. She is. She gave me a normal childhood and helped me see so much about my fears. I kept going to her, you see, and have my whole life. That's 20 more years after that tormented 6-year-old entered, shakily smiling at the tiger on the lady's desk and asking if I could hold it. Its arms looked so perpetually in request of the hug I myself so wanted in that scary office. My chest was puffed after I held that tarantula, claiming that moment as the final straw in ending my nightmares of walking through fields of white, tickling, festering strings, their hosts slowly making their way up my legs, fangs bared. So it helped. I helped you. I nodded my little newly 9-year-old head, black braids bobbing. You did. I'm not afraid of anything now. She leaned forward in her chair, eyes fixing me curiously beneath her reading glasses, the ones she only wore to take notes. She hadn't taken anything yet. Nothing, really. No, not even balloons or clowns. I just think clowns are annoying, but I didn't watch It like Parker did. His parents didn't want him to watch it because they knew he'd be scared. You're very brave, Phoebe. You aren't even scared of the dark. I'm not a baby, I insisted, spine straightening in my chair. Not even the way it suffocates you, concealing the things watching you in the shadows. I frowned. What things? You never know. But you're brave. You aren't afraid of the eyes that watch you or the things that might sit in the corner of your room, just waiting for you to roll out of bed in the night, seeking a simple glass of water or trip to the restroom. You're blind. Your blind, vulnerable body stumbling against the walls as they grin. Nope. That night, I ran from the kitchen down to the hallway, practically sprinting past the couches in our front room where the lights were turned off, creating an utter void in my house. I couldn't look at my mom's childhood doll. Its eyes seemed to follow me to my room where I reached over to turn off my lamp. The moment I settled back down, though, rolling onto my side, I couldn't help but imagine a little shadowy figure clutching its knees, staring at me with manic, glassy eyes and an ear-splitting grin. Or maybe I wasn't imagining it. Squeezing my eyelids tight, I told myself to sleep, but I was sure it was watching me. Inhaling deeply, I rolled over as slowly and quietly as I could, pulling my lamp back on. It was gone, banished by the rays of my yellowed light bulb. The next night, it was a hooded man, like the one that startled me on Halloween, his half-skeletal face arching into a rotten grimace when I woke up thirsty, only to wrap myself tighter in my comforter. Then, the next, a spider with a grotesque baby doll-like face, one like I'd seen in a movie, only this one had no neck, no comical plasticine sheen. Only a gaping mouth filled with perfectly aligned teeth and a huge tongue, one that waited for me. I wished he was still staying away from the park, running, screaming from playground slides infested with webs, making my dad squish the spiders that were unfortunate enough to crawl into our house. Those were avoidable, not even everyday occurrences. Being out too late at nights had become a struggle for me, even if I just pretended to be tired, not watching the man in the dark clothes that ducked into every shadow, slinking home along our car's path. Why had my fear changed? After a few weeks, my parents noticed quickly the way I flinched when they reached for that wooden flower-tipped bead pull, the way I darted down the hallway like it was a marathon, the way I woke up crying and screaming some nights, having dared sneak to the restroom, only to get paralyzed by those multitudinous eyes fixed upon me and me alone. Soon, they had the phone in hand again, giving me that same worried side glance.
"Hi, Ophelia. I knew we said she wouldn't be needing you anymore, but, well, I really think Phoebe would benefit from talking to you some more. Really? That soon?" "Oh, I'm glad. She's a delight to work with. You've been great as well."
I learned that things were the same in my room. Lights couldn't make a grinning man or a spider baby appear or disappear in its absence. It took longer than I care to admit to get comfortable, even walking at a normal pace, to get a glass of water from the kitchen past 8 o'clock. Stepping the shadowed corners of my room for tangible proof no one else squatted there, eyes glinting. I wasn't a kid anymore, almost an adult. I knew everything Dr. Breyer told me, too. There was just something that had convinced me otherwise. My brain, I guess. My brain needed a lot of help. It still does. When the dark was lifted from me, I cheered, hugging my therapist, inviting her to my high school graduation, and kept going to talk about small things. External problems, my relationship troubles, where I planned to go to college. Even choosing a major was stressful. What my dorm was like, since every building was different, but I liked the Sin Hall, named after a very inspiring first-generation college student who went on to make a change on campus. It made me feel like I could follow in her footsteps. Was that silly? Delusional? Apparently not. I had great things to come, apparently.
"I'm glad you're feeling safe in the dorms,"
Dr. Breyer, who told me I could call her Ophelia, commented with a click of her pen.
"We have security guards," I assured her, waving a hand. "Big guys, you know, and we need our student IDs to get in. I'm not scared of the dark, remember?"
My child self had been something of a joke, a sick one, but a way to celebrate my development, I guess. I guess that wasn't right.
"Of course not," Ophelia nodded. "You aren't a child anymore. Watching over your shoulder for predators is just second nature for girls."
There had been some incidents on campus, but very few, usually in parking lots or across the streets near homeless encampments when girls caught the attention of someone on a manic high. I just never parked over there. Seemed a simple solution.
I have bear spray, I replied, jostling my backpack at my feet for emphasis, smiling at the tinny sounds the can made against my history textbook. And I park in lighted areas only. It sucks that we have to live like that, but I do it. I have to. I shouldn't have shrugged. Definitely not. Ophelia looked utterly pitiful as she fixed me with those pale blue eyes.
Oh, that's good, dear. I guess I just remember Derek Fuller.
My brows furrowed and my head tilted, sending my bob swirling around my chin. I shuddered at the tickle. Derek Fuller?
Oh, I thought you knew. He followed a group of students who had their IDs into a dorm, and they ended up being found murdered. 30 knife wounds between them. It was awful. I decided if I had a child, they would never stay in the dorms, but call me an overprotective mother.
Ophelia laughed.
I know how smart you are. You know better than to let Derek Fuller get to you when he's behind bars. No one's going to follow you. There can't be any more like him, right?
Of course there could, I thought, as I left that evening, winding my scarf around my neck. Of course someone could follow me. I have night classes, and I'm an easy target. 5'3". But then again, I could just bear spray him and run, right? Unless he had a gun. Then I'd have to zigzag and find a place to hide. Maybe call the police and hope he doesn't hear me.
I did 3 double takes as I headed to my room that night. Grateful I lived on the 2nd floor. Too hard to climb. No one followed me that night, or any night, for a week.
But exactly 9 days later, a figure appeared just outside of my window, standing just behind a bush, face obscured by a hood. Derek Fuller. No, he's in jail. I've seen the pictures, the mugshots with that stare and that shaved blonde hair. He got no chance of parole for what he did. Who was watching me then? Maybe a frat boy as a prank. I told myself if it wasn't for me, maybe just somebody doing the boombox confession outside another student's window. That was how Mark and Trey got together, and that had gone well. Engagement, well. Fond memories lulled me to sleep that night, but they didn't sit so feather-light the following night. When the figure returned, hooded, and staring intently as usual. Or, I assumed it's intently stared. It was like looking at a scarecrow with the lanky, tilted, stock-still way they stood. Eyes, or whatever sat on their head, covered by red, tinted goggles. They almost reminded me of the spider eyes that used to hang on my wall, sending shivers down my spine at the memory of the 8-way amber stare I used to wake up screaming to. I called campus police after a week straight of being stared at. Or maybe I was aggrandizing things. It wasn't about me. Maybe it was something else entirely, but someone was being watched. I felt it, and it made nights hard. I wouldn't go to late night 24-hour crap joint pancakes with my friends in case it slunk past me as I used my keycard. Dreaming about my upstairs neighbor being killed by Derek Fuller in red goggles, my tightly, white-thread-bound hands oozing with the blood that dripped through the ceiling, sealed the deal. They never found anyone, so I assumed their sweep scared the creeper off until I saw the exact same thing outside the door of my new house, a location only family and friends knew. None of my classmates, or even my roommates, who never really clicked with me, maybe it was all the tossing and turning at night, knew. I'd been found, though, followed, just as I'd been warned and ignored like the idiot I was. The Black Widow, as I called the figure, hadn't left. It had just gotten smarter. It found another bush or something. But there, that black shape was, tilted as ever, having no doubt shuffling after me on the evening walks I'd been so proud of. No more of those. No more anything. If I invited friends or family over, all I could think about is their blood on my hands. I didn't even know if the Black Widow was dangerous, but if they mugged or stabbed someone I loved, well, I'd never forgive myself. No more windows, only curtains. Curtains tightly drawn, blackout curtains. No more TV in case it was too loud. The volume alerting the widow to my presence just feet away in my front room. No more groceries, just delivery. If I went out, had a routine, the widow would know when to break in, when to wait for me in my house. No unlocked door. 3 deadbolts. My fear had shifted yet again, this time to every unnatural sound. The murmur of the AC kicking on, the creaking of the house settling. God forbid my ice maker crashing. I'd whimper. Every sound was torture. Even my own house was fighting me. What if it wasn't those things, just that one time? What if it was that man, that whatever it was, finally coming for me, having finally decided he knew my weakness? My only weakness, though, was him. I made sure of it with Dr. Breyer's help, and I sure as hell didn't let the widow know that. Soon, maybe my fear would change. I was going to ask Dr. Breyer if I could be made afraid of something else, anything else. Spiders, again, new Black Widows, old ones. Whenever I changed my fears, I got a reprieve. I tended to stay in my bedroom, but watch things on my phone and video call my friends. They were concerned that they never saw me, that they drove by my house and they only saw one light on, that I didn't look healthy rocking in the blankets like that, dark circles under my eyes. But I told them I was sick, very sick, and I was seeing someone about it. Ophelia understood. She thought I'd come to my senses.
The police don't care about girls like us. They'll do whatever they want to us, too. You're safe in your room there. The longer you stay in one place, the higher chance you'll have that this widow, you say, will just forget about you, instead of whatever he has planned. You said you dreamed of Derek Fuller, right? Are you afraid the widow has a knife, maybe? That he's been waiting for you? Not knowing which room you were in?
Blinking, I felt warm, wet tears burn into my cheeks. Tears. Tears I'd been holding on to for God knows how long. All I could do was nod over and over again, like a child, like my parents asked if I wanted to sleep in their bed. Between their warm bodies, there was no dull amber eyes or rotten faces. That warmth was far away. Before I signed off, Ophelia laughed away my comments. It was pretty silly, I guess, to ask for backwards progress.
You've come so far, Phoebe. Don't waste it now. The widow will pass from your life, too. You strong girl.
Yeah, I sobbed. A smile I didn't feel rising to my lips. You're right. You always are. I never know what to do without you.
It's all right, Phoebe. We're friends, aren't we? And to think, we met because of some silly spiders.
I let out my first non-nervous chuckle in months. Yeah.
Just keep thinking of all the things the widow might do to you, and soon they won't bother you anymore, remember?
Yeah,
I couldn't sleep that night. Not while imagining those goggles boring into my eyes, searching my soul as the widow held a knife to my bedroom window. At least, I hope I imagined it. It seemed so real, especially the way the hooded, goggled figure tilted their head, revealing a pale, pointed chin, and a smile that reminded me of Ophelia's when she'd been studying me for a long time, and finally reached a breakthrough discovery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.